Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. I want to remind everyone that the Delgado Community College Foundation will host the 2024 Roast of the Town fundraising event on Friday, April 19th at the Sheraton. The annual fundraiser supports ongoing student success at Delgado by providing scholarships, support services, and other programs for students. We will be roasting Michael Heck, who joins us, and roasters include Troy Carter, U.S. Representative, Tara Hernandez, President of JCH Ventures, Allison Hotard, Executive Director of Young Leadership Council, Greg Rusevich, CEO of Transoceanic Development, and myself. Eric Paulson, WWL TV news anchor, will be the master of ceremonies, and tickets are still available at www.dcc.edu. Goes for a great cause. It'll be a great evening. Please come out and join us as we slay the parking lot commentator, Mr. Michael Heck.
Newell, never have I been more humiliated for a better cause than this Friday. And I'll tell you, we are getting very close to breaking the record of funds raised. And so I'm spending the next couple of days making sure that we break that record because we're doing it for the students of Delgado, and they deserve it. So, I'm really looking forward to it. I think that it's going to be a fairly brutal affair. But again, I'm going to crawl away with my head held high, if not my ego, knowing that we did it for the kids.
No doubt. Absolutely. And they really do fill a huge void, obviously, historically, as it relates to education in so many different ways. And Delgado has been growing. They've had more impact in our community and an institution to be proud of.
Yeah, I think the thing to understand about Delgado, and I actually misspoke when I said doing it for the kids, is that the average age of a student at Delgado was in the mid-20s. And yeah, there are people who are there who are quite much older. In fact, my wife, when she decided she was going to do a PhD at Tulane in a medical school, had to first go and take her pre-med courses at Delgado. So it really is about helping people in the community transform their lives. And in that way, it's maybe the most important school in our community. It's also the second largest in the state. So it's a great cause. And, and if you're feeling like you've had a rough week, you're having some self-esteem issues, then come on out and see me get eviscerated and you'll feel better.
And join in.
And join in. As somebody said, are you going to be allowed to throw food? I said, yes, but only dry food. So dinner rolls are fine, tomatoes are not. It's just the hotel regulations. But
absolutely,
this is going to be a fairly medieval affair, I expect, particularly with Eric Paulson as MC.
Yeah, he does a great job always. He is truly a funny person for sure.
Eric is a person I always wish I could have been if I didn't have a moral compass. Right. Anyway, hey, that's one of my lines from the roast.
There you go, giving it up already prematurely. Michael, a lot going on in the state legislature right now. Things are moving fairly quick, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's up today that's actually fairly good. A lot that is related to insurance. So we have a bunch of bills in the Senate. One that would continue the fortified roof program, which is critical for homeowners to be able to lower insurance costs. A couple that would change strange laws we have on the books in Louisiana, the three-year rule and the way that changes to prices are approved by the insurance commissioner. And then on the health side, a couple of bills that would clarify bad faith and eliminate the three-year rule. Both of those are issues that have kind of bedeviled the industry here and made us more litigious, frankly. So pleased to see those bills going through relative to insurance. Then we also have bills that are going through relative to the Sewer and Water Board. And these I'm really excited about. There's SB 305 by Jimmy Harris, which would consolidate drainage under a single entity, which is how it's done, I think, ubiquitously in the rest of the universe. There is a bill by Stephanie Hilferty that would allow for Sewer and Water Board employees to not have to live in New Orleans, which would address some of the workforce issues. And then my favorite one is HB 525 from Representative Willard, which, and you're sitting down, right? I'm imagining that you're sitting down right now, which would require that the Sewer and Water Board charge bills based on actual services.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
we're getting back to first principles here. We're going
absolutely
old school. And then there's some other bills that are going forward. There's the Louisiana Economic Development Reorganization Bill, which is one that we support. They call it Positioning Louisiana to Win. It does a few things. It creates an advisory board that would help advise on policies and strategies. It creates a requirement for a long-term economic development plan. But the part about it that's getting the least attention, but that I think most important, is that it would allow LED to establish a nonprofit 501c3 foundation. And that would allow LED to raise money, to process money, and to run some programs outside of the traditional confines of LED, which would allow it, frankly, to operate in a more flexible and an efficient manner. Kind of, they would, people say, speed of business, more at the speed of business. I've seen this work in other places, and I think it's actually going to make LED more effective. So I'm glad that that is going through. The last thing, and then I'll stop and yield the mic back, is we are working on trying to support Bill 419 by Kirk Talbot, Senator Kirk Talbot. This is one that addresses the permitless concealed carry legislation that passed last in the crime special session. We're very concerned about what this means for our entertainment districts, particularly the French Quarter. So what Senator Talbot's bill would do is just revert back to the previous law for the French Quarter, which says that you can conceal carry, but you have to have a permit. So it's just taking us back to where we were before. And then the other part of it is something that's at the interest of our whole sporting community, and it's modeled on the state of Texas, and it already effectively is a law. It's basically that you can't bring a handgun into a sporting event. So we hope that we can get this pushed through because we think it just brings some common sense parameters to the permitless concealed carry legislation that passed.
There seems to be a lot of opposition to this. They don't want any exceptions. They defeated a bill earlier about child care centers and, you know, other areas that seem to make perfect sense to me. But I keep pointing out the obvious. There's really no other place in the country where you can drink 24/7 open container in a community. They don't exist.
So it's something that, you know, you're right, Noel, there's a lot of momentum on just getting these things done in an absolute way. The NRA has been very active, frankly, in really pushing for making no exceptions whatsoever, despite the fact that New Orleans is effectively a 24/7 open air bar. But we're going to keep pushing on this because it's just the right thing to do. And I think eventually, you know, we'll get back to the common sense solution. The pendulum always swings back. We just want to make sure that we minimize the type of mayhem that we saw the other night, for example, that mass shooting last Sunday night, because that's just terrible for everybody. So we know the odds are stacked against us somewhat right now, but we're going to keep pushing. And we've got, I think, a broad business community and civic community that feels the same way.
Michael, it seems as though 5 years after opening the airport, folks are looking at improving upon the transportation corridor as it relates from the main terminal to ancillary services that are located on the other side of the airport grounds. Where do we stand there?
The new airport has been, I think, a tremendous success, and apparently so does much of the public, because we continue to get these awards as best midsize airport, or one of the best midsize airports in the country, and payments look good, so that's been great. Probably the biggest issue with the airport, and this didn't get a lot of press when it opened, but some of us kind of thought it was going to be an issue, particularly as airlines were moving towards more smaller planes, was that it just isn't going to be big enough over time. But the good news is that you have the old terminal, and particularly parts of it like Terminal D that are relatively new, that form what they're calling the South Campus. And so the question is just, how do you get back and forth between the new airport and the South Campus without crossing the runway, which can get a bit dicey at times. So what they're doing is they're first going to, right? You know, it's kind of like that Frogger thing. So they're first going to lay down a 5-mile road that's going to go out kind of towards the extension that previously, or that currently, goes between airline and vets. And then eventually the idea is that you put down an electrified light rail that will go on that road. But getting the actual road built, and we have a couple of federal grants for it, is the first step. And then eventually there'll be a light railway project similar to what they have, you know, in many airports like Phoenix Sky Harbor.
Yeah, I mean, you find that in almost every major Well, you absolutely find it in almost every airport that's been built in the last 20 years, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the only exception is those incredibly annoying, weird Star Wars double bus things that they have at Dulles. I just don't like them. I don't know why. I don't think they're cool. I think they're annoying. It's just like I've gotten there, I've gotten to my destination, and then I got to go sit in the bus with no back. It's strange. But And I'm sorry, the point I'm making on this, Noel, I forgot to say this, but the point is that then you can expand and you could see potentially an airline taking over like old Terminal D as their concourse. And it also would provide much easier access to the rental terminal, which is a bit of a problem right now. So this is just another step forward in making the airport larger and more convenient.
But, you know, it's interesting. We're so used to such a convenient airport. A very compact airport. What you have to go through to get to the rental car area. Recently, I flew into Denver. No different. You get on a bus. You go a pretty lengthy distance, as far as 3-4 miles, to get to where the rental cars are.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
And you see that almost, you know, everywhere. I mean, to get to the rental car area at Boston's airport, it's like walking across the entire city of New Orleans.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of people complain about the fact that we don't have moving walkways in the airport, in terminals, concourse A, B, and C. And that was a cost-saving thing, I think, is a reality of up front. But, you know, if you go to Detroit, airport, DTW, they've got a concourse that's like 1.5 miles long.
Yeah.
It's overall, it's been a tremendous success. The whole situation with the flyover ended up not being particularly bad, and now it's been built. And I just love the fact that we're continuing to improve it because it is the first impression and the last impression of the city and the region and the state for many people. But more importantly to me, it's a key attribute that people are looking at when they're trying to decide whether they want to locate a business here. It's air access. So it's a really, really important asset to us.
You know, even the flyover, I mean, I just never really quite understood a lot of the criticism. What's that air? Is it Midway in Chicago where it's not Chicago International, it's the Midway Airport? You get off the interstate. You get off the interstate, you got to drive like 6-7 miles to get to the airport down a street like Veterans Highway.
It's right. It's kind of buried down there. A lot of ones are like that. Oakland Airport's like that. And, you know, and the reality is that what people don't understand, let me just say this once again, not that he needs defending, but to defend Mitch Landrieu on this one, had we waited for that flyover to be built, the airport would not have been built. It was a critical path issue. We had to build the terminal because once the terminal was built, then that would create the pressure to build the flyover. Waiting would have killed the deal. So it happened the way it needed to. You know, I miss the old airport. I miss the flying taco chips and those medieval things they would use to clean the bathrooms, the broomsticks with the tennis balls on them. You know, I miss a lucky dog and a dank concourse, but, you know, my memory can still take me back there.
You like the low ceilings, you know,
the
1960s, 50s feel.
There were parts of it that were very, very nice. What I do miss, actually, though, is, you know, the main parabola, the main.
You felt right at home wearing a skinny tie. You felt right at home wearing a skinny tie.
Absolutely, man. Smoking a lung dart, wearing some polyester.
Right at home.
I was talking to an older gentleman the other day, and he said, man, it was much more fun being 20 in the 1970s than being 70 in the 2020s.
That's an understatement. For sure. Michael, DG Fuels has an important announcement. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is up in St. James Parish. It's a big project, billions of dollars, and this is one is in biofuels. And what DG Fuels is going to be doing is they're going to be taking sugarcane waste or bagasse, and they're going to be converting it to sustainable aviation fuel. They're going to be making 13,000 barrels a day, so a big volume. And then they're going to be working with Delta, Air France, KLM, and Airbus to try to sell it to them around the globe. So it's a nice project on a couple of levels. One, in the specific, it's using a waste product that's native to Louisiana, sugarcane waste, and it's using it to meet a market demand for sustainable aviation diesel. I also like it because we're promoting this all of the above lower carbon energy future for Louisiana, where we think we can really be a leader in it. And it's across many things. It's oil, it's gas, it's carbon capture. It's offshore wind manufacture, but this one in renewable fuels is really broad and big. And every time we can make an announcement, it lets people know that this isn't just a nice thing to say. We're not just talking about unicorns and rainbows. We're talking about real projects, real investments, and real jobs. So this is just another proof point that we can be this future energy state here in Louisiana.
And it looks like we're well down the road. I drove by, actually walked by the new Caesars Hotel the other day on my way to French Quarter Fest. Looks like they've topped it off. They're starting to fill it in, and I guess it will be open before the Super Bowl in February.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Samir, who runs the hotel, the other night. It will be open, and I think it's going to be beautiful. It's almost 350 rooms. The Caesars product is always a really nice product. And when you look at what's happening down there between the Caesars, between the Four Seasons, the Spanish Plaza upgrade, the new Canal Street Ferry Terminal, and we saw all this when we were over at French Quarter Fest, that area has really been glowed up over the past few years. It's really nice down there now. And that's exciting. Because it will look good for the Super Bowl. It's an area that's going to get a lot of camera angles. And just in general, it's good to remember that there's been about $3.5 billion that is either has been invested or is going to be invested in downtown New Orleans between the $500 million at the Superdome, the charity redevelopment, which is going to go forward despite some press that it's gotten recently, the River District, which is going forward. So, you know, with all of the questions going on in the world about the future of downtowns, there was a really devastating article about St. Louis in the Journal recently. There's billions being invested in upgrading our downtown, and that's kind of contagious. So, you know, I don't know that Caesars happens if the Four Seasons doesn't happen, for example. So I'm really pleased to see it going forward.
I spent almost 2 hours in that area for French Quarter Fest and had a blast right there at the Spanish Plaza. I haven't been there since it's been completed. Got an opportunity to walk around and see all the work that had been done. Great venue.
Yeah, I mean, Spanish Plaza, there was even water in the fountain. And I think it was fountain water, not like rainwater that didn't drain. Right? And so it was.
And it was clear.
It was clear. So, no, that Spanish Plaza area is gorgeous. We walked back there after watching Terrence Simeon at French Quarter Fest. And we're like, what is this? It's just beautiful. And, you know, some people haven't been back there since the World's Fair. So, yeah, it's great to see what's happening back there. And, you know, now that River District is going to go forward, that whole area is going to become very exciting. It's going to look good. And it's going to create a lot of tax revenue, which is, you know, something that matters a lot at the end of the day.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. We've been visiting with Michael Heck. He has a special guest when we return. Stay with us, folks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, you're ready to go party. Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is alligator, A-L-L-I-G-A-T-O-R. That's alligator. Now go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets plus round trip Jazz Fest Express shuttle passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, me, Scooter Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day to see amazing artists like Chris Stapleton, John Batiste, The Killers, the Robert Cray Band, who you're listening to now, Heart, Rebirth, Brass Band, and more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. We're back with Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc. You're a Robert Cray fan, Michael?
Am I a Robert Cray fan? I am a Robert Cray fan, actually. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think, like, what I'm most excited about for Jazz Fest this year. You know, I saw the Stones years ago and, you know, at the Dome. But I think, like, somebody who's like a singer and guitarist like Robert Cray, you know, that's the kind of person that would really be beautiful at Jazz Fest, particularly if it's on the right stage.
No, absolutely. Love Robert Cray. I think every one of his, well, it's not albums, CDs. I'm really showing my age. Actually, I think I do have albums. But nonetheless, we have a special guest.
Man.
Yeah.
Smoking Gun.
They're coming back.
Yeah.
I wish I could find all that old vinyl.
Yeah, Shamalama Ding Dong, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Shamalama Ding Dong, let's introduce Chris Massengill.
There it is. Chris, you need to come out Friday night and defend yourself and pay back as hell.
Hey, no kidding. But I tell you, Sheriff, I knew you had good taste in music. When you throw out Robert Cray, he's one of the best. I've been following him since I was barely a teenager. Strong Persuader is still one of my favorites. It's still the best one.
Yeah. I'm a Don't Be Afraid of the Dark fan myself. But So, Chris, welcome to the show. A lot of exciting announcements in St. Tammany. I know that y'all have had a rough couple of weeks here, but there's a lot of great things going on the North Shore.
There really are. And, Michael, thanks for letting me join you today. It just so happens I actually just stepped out of the Senate Commerce Committee here in Baton Rouge our bill that we're all supporting, really applauding Secretary Bourgeois and the governor and Senator Mizell for repositioning LED, the Louisiana Economic Development Partner. This was the introduction, introduced to what they refer to as repositioning Louisiana for success, and it starts with the structure of our statewide economic development organization to be as effective and as helpful to us at the regional and local level as possible. That bill passed out of committee today, and we're very excited about that. That just happened just a few minutes ago, and so it's really timely because that kind of movement, that kind of attention by the governor, that strategic focus to position Louisiana to win speaks to exactly the announcement that we made recently with Agile Cold Storage. It was a great project for us, one that we've been working a good while with our partners, including Michael and his team. That was important for us. It's a targeted industry for us. It's a $45.9 million constructing a 150,000 square foot facility in the Pearl River area of St. Tammany. It's going to produce 100 direct new jobs, 95 indirect jobs. But what's really awesome is that this is a $5.3 million annual payroll. And the connectivity that they have with what they do in their industry sector is going to be helping to support 5,200 containers going out of the port of New Orleans. So this is a multifaceted project. It's more than just logistics and warehousing. That's the industry category. But what it's doing for the supply chain and the way that it operates is really important, and it's a good win for the North Shore.
We have not had a cold storage development other than recapturing what we lost in Katrina, right? I mean,
yes, sir.
My wife's family was in that business for a long, long time. Had a cold storage public warehousing operation, but it's one that's been sorely underserved in our region.
No, you're right. That refrigerated, basically how that's categorized as cold storage, falls under the refrigerated warehousing and storage industry. And that combined with the transportation warehousing industry actually contributes to $500 million of our GDP in St. Tammany. When you look at about the 530 employees that work in companies statewide in Louisiana, 51% of those are based on the North Shore. And so to recruit Agile to the North Shore, to recognize the potential we have to help contribute to what's going on with the international terminal and the work that's happening at the port, and then the recognition that we have the right infrastructure, the right talent, and the right location, the strategic geographical location on the North Shore has really made this project center focus for us. And that we can provide that workforce to contribute to that. And this has been one of our industry target industry sectors for a while. And so it demonstrates that we can really provide the workforce, and we've got the supply chain and the infrastructure that can make that that company successful.
And it helps to have three interstate systems right there too, right? And I guess that's why they chose Pearl River.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, immediate access.
Exactly right.
North, south, east, west. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, these type of companies, it's all about connectivity, infrastructure, and talent. And when you look at where we are positioned in this part of Southeast Louisiana, you've got major connectivity, not just with the port, but the interstate is significantly important. 10, 12, 59, all of these things matter to put us in the right strategic position to attract these type of incredible companies. And they're based out of Gainesville, Georgia. I mean, this company's been around a while. They've got 13 facilities across North America. They're a substantial company, highly recognized in the cold storage space. And it's one we're glad to welcome them to the Southeast Louisiana, St. Tammany, and of course, the North Shore.
Absolutely. Let's get to a break. We'll talk about the other project that you guys have been able to land in St. Tammany. When we return, we're talking to Chris Massengill, St. Tammany Corps, as well as Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO, Inc. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're meeting with President and CEO of GNO, Inc., Michael Heck, and we've been having a discussion with St. Tammany Corps, Chris Massengill. Chris, a whole different type of manufacturing facility locates themselves in St. Tammany Parish as well. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you, Noel, for the opportunity to do that. We're excited about this particular project as well. Hertzberg and Schott are ACNS, as they're referred to, a manufacturer and defense contractor. It's a Cleveland-based company. They've been around for 135 years, and they're one of the world's leading providers of industrial gears and custom gear drives, which they offer a full range of services, including the custom design and replacement, turnkey field operations, and they were looking across the Gulf South. This is one of those projects that really signifies that when we come together as an economic development team and got great partners like GNO Inc. and the state, that we can compete with our neighbors, particularly with Mississippi and Alabama and Florida. They were looking for a Gulf Coast headquarters and base of operations, and we were able to lure them away from one of our neighboring competitive states, and they chose Slidell to be their home for this manufacturing facility. It's about a 32,000 square foot facility. No, it's 40 jobs, but here's what's really significant about this. A lot of folks, they think when they think of the North Shore, they don't think that, oh, there's a strong advanced manufacturing footprint over there. Actually, it's been growing. We put a major strategic investment and focus from an economic development standpoint to really work with our existing advanced manufacturers, but also creating a scenario to attract new, particularly the small, the mid-size. It's a great fit. And these are jobs with an annual wage of $100,000. That's $4.9 million in CapEx that's coming to Slidell and the East St. Tammany, and then $4.1 million in payroll because of the annual wage is so high with these 40 jobs. So they are highly sophisticated technology that's a part of this, and they're doing some incredible work actually with the Department of Navy. And these kind of companies, it is all about talent. Obviously, the location is very important, but talent, and we have the ability to supply the kind of workforce and the skilled workforce that can accommodate these highly sophisticated and technology-based advanced manufacturing companies. So this is a big win for Slidell, a big win for us to add to that landscape of advanced manufacturing in St. Tammany and on the North Shore.
I love these base hits, you know. I mean, these companies with 50, 60, 70 employees making that investment here, high-paying jobs, because it's those series of base hits that I think really creates a lot of momentum and call attention to ourselves as to what's actually happening. So the more of these that we have, the better off we are, because the day of bringing in the 2,000 employee, you know, advanced manufacturing type of operation doesn't really exist that often anymore, right?
No, that's a great point. Michael and I talk about this all the time. Several in our industry or practicing economic development organizations, they really get distracted with that shiny, big, gigantic, what we call either the whale or the big elephants. And the reality is that economic development, it has to have a holistic strategy. And it's not a one-size-fits-all, and you really have to create strategies based off what your community can support. And these are significant investments in business growth, significant opportunities, and they stay hitched to your community for a long time. They continue to reinvest, and as we're seeing the transition of technology and automation with advanced manufacturing, it really is about the capital investment and securing the jobs that we have.
Yeah. Michael, final thought. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Chris Massengill with St. Tammany Corps. Final thoughts, Michael?
No, I think that you raise a great point there that, you know, it's all about the on-base percentage. You want to get on base no matter how it is. And sometimes it's a single. Sometimes it's even, you know, a walk. And then you want to play good defense. And so if we keep getting these singles and doubles in economic development and play good defense on things like public safety, then we're going to win games.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Gentlemen, both of y'all, thank you so much.
I want to bust out the polyester again. I want to see him fancying some more polyester.
I was trying to end this segment on a positive note. I was looking at some of the 100 best roast lines of all time during the commercial break. I can't say any of that. Like, I can't even say that stuff to Chris, you know, to his face offline. I can't say the Flavor Flav stuff at a Delgado event. Oh my Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. But I encourage everybody to come out, help us break the record, help us do it for the students of Delgado and for the community. Hope to see everybody on Friday night at the Sheraton.
All righty. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Truly appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week. Michael, we'll see you Friday night. We'll bring our best to that event for sure. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after top of the hour news break, we'll visit with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member, and Andranika Morris at 12:30.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.